We read from John's Gospel, his Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No angels, no star, no shepherd, no mangers. The Word, a poetic image that sheds light and enlightenment on all. And the light shines in the darkness, and the light wins. I looked this up the other day, because this time of year always gives me pause for thought along these lines. Starting on December the 14th, up until yesterday, give or take a few seconds, this part of West Texas has had each day 9 hours and 56 minutes of daylight. As of yesterday, we had 9 hours and 57 minutes of daylight. And that process will continue until mid-June when the whole thing recycles. But the point is, as of yesterday, we've had one more minute. Just 1 minute of light that shines in the darkness. And according to John, the light wins. What can you do with an extra minute of light? Well, let me suggest that one author's insight on the value of time gives us some perspective. To realize the value of 1 month, ask the mother of a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly magazine or newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a daily wage laborer. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask lovers waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the survivor of an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the silver medalist. The value of 1 minute. 1 extra minute of light to shine in the darkness. I think, among other things, we can use an extra minute of light in the course of our day-to-day lives to hold on to our temper, to maybe avoid or minimize blowing a gasket. I vividly remember the last time I did that for real. A little over 7 years ago, and the beneficiary of that volcano was a colleague who I was wary of ever since we started working together, which is now over almost 20 years. More wary of that day, and things haven't actually improved much, but he did something that I thought was completely wrong, and I was completely right about that, I might add. I really believe that. It's not one of those deals where you blow a gasket because somebody attacks you and you have to defend. I was right. And I heard what had happened, and I left the building in a huff. Then I went back into the building. Bad idea. I could have left. I could have stayed outside. And all the while, coming back into the building, going up 2 flights of stairs, around the corner, and down the hall, I'm telling myself, take a breath, walk back outside. And I didn't. And it cost me. Among other things, it cost me a pretty expensive I'm sorry lunch. The situation didn't get any better. The relationship with my colleague has not improved. It's deteriorated, as a matter of fact. And there was a time when that level of deterioration posed a threat even to my career. Now, the long version of this story includes vindication for me, because I was right then and I'm still right. But I still wish I had stayed outside, even though I had every reason not to. I wish I'd stayed outside and let it go. 1 minute where light can shine in the darkness. And the darkness loses. The light wins, at least with regard to self-respect and dignity and decency. The value of one extra minute of light to hold your temper and resolve the issue in a more civil, social, perhaps even graceful way. The value of one extra minute of light also to connect with another person in a meaningful and emotional and authentic way, a vulnerably authentic way, perhaps. I have an exercise, actually it's 20% of the grade in my upper level sociology class, involves what I call a writing assignment, because I don't know what else to call it. It's got three or four different components to it, one of which is a two-page essay that, as I describe it in the assignment, it's an emotional response to having read a provocative book. The book is intentionally provocative. It's got a great deal of edgy language and violent imagery, and it's designed to provoke a reaction. And I want my students to articulate that reaction in a viscerally emotional way. I have learned over the years that the guys in the class have a much harder time doing this than the women. What I get more often than not in the first two pages of this whole piece that they have to put together is what amounts to a fifth grade book report. This did that, and that did this, and that's what happened next. And that's not what I want. I want a visceral reaction because it's that level of emotional intensity that drives the research process forward, among many other things in our lives. That without that, well, the product just isn't worth very much. And I think that's true in our relationships one with another. Perhaps the people with whom we work, certainly the people with whom we serve in a place like this, the people with whom we live and who love us, there can default a kind of day-by-day level of interaction that is certainly necessary but isn't especially connecting. It's like the old Swede from Minnesota that loved his wife so much, one time he almost told her. Don't be that guy. A question in conversation has a quick answer. But every once in a while, that same question has an answer that carries some depth of emotion and vulnerability and endearment and honesty. The highest truth we know can be frightening to articulate, but when doing so with someone who loves you, there's an emotional connection that's invaluable. One extra minute of light to connect emotionally and to articulate and experience that emotional connection is a moment when light shines in darkness, and the light wins. What can you do with an extra minute of light these days? You can keep a lid on your temper. You can connect emotionally and meaningfully, viscerally. And you can laugh. I am as serious about this as I am anything else. Sort of ironic. You've seen this. We picked this up in Cloudcroft a couple of years ago. If it doesn't include laughter, I know it's not the religion for me. That's what I love about this place. People here know how to laugh, and they love to laugh. And we are pretty amusing, quite frankly. I've been here long enough to know a lot of amusing things about every single one of you. And that's reciprocated. And here's the thing. Laughter and humor is the flip side of anger and rage. Some of the most successful comedians in our entertainment industry, their act has an edge to it because it is full of satire and irony and anger turned into laughter, which is, quite frankly, what I hope happens to me when I meet the Lord High God, that all of the things that I have done that would rightly enrage him perhaps are turned to sort of rolling your eyes bemusement. You know, the biblical sentiment for this comes from St. Paul. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes when we step in it, it makes a funny sound. One extra minute of light is an opportunity to laugh, maybe as a choice that we can make when we keep a lid on the anger long enough to think about what's really kind of funny about this. One extra minute to laugh. I have one more Christmas story. It's one of those legends that, you know, probably one out of every 3 or 4 years when the family gets together, somebody talks about Uncle Rudy. Uncle Rudy was married to Aunt Gertrude. They lived in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or in the rural area around Oshkosh. And I only remember them both kind of as a child. But what I remember about Uncle Rudy, among other things, was his size. He was huge. His laugh, which was bellicose, his flaming, wavy red hair, you know. And they called him Red for short, or sometimes they called him Red Rudy and so on. Well, the story goes that he and Aunt Gertrude were it was their year to go from Oshkosh, rural Oshkosh, to Racine for Christmas. Sometimes it went the other way. But they were driving, and they got to the outskirts of Milwaukee, and the weather started to look dicey. Now, this is an unusual year, apparently, in Wisconsin. In that, it was about 35 degrees and falling, but Rudy was just, you know, we're going to get there. We need to get there for dinner. And Aunt Gertrude is saying, you know, we ought to, let's get some coffee and see what the weather's going to do. It looks like it's going to snow and maybe get icy. And Rudy says, no, it's going to rain. Those are rain clouds. You know, it's not going to, well, let's just get going, right? It's this big hole back and forth, according to legend, to the point where they're yelling at each other. It's going to snow, it's going to rain, it's going to snow, it's going to rain. And finally, Uncle Rudy pulls off, apparently, side of the road, takes off his hat, looks Aunt Gertrude square in the eye and says, Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear. Jim Valvano was the coach of the North Carolina State basketball team that won the national championship in 1983. Against long odds, they were the 24th seed out of a field of 52. And they won the national championship. And one of our more memorable pieces of sports video is Jim Valvano taking the court and just charging around with unbelievable joy, having done the unlikely. It was in 1983. Just 10 years later, at the age of 47, cancer took Jim Valvano's life. And another of our more memorable moments in sports video is Jim Valvano's speech at the ESPY Awards in 1993, just 8 weeks before his death. A death that he knew was coming very soon. And in that speech, among other things, he said just these few words. He said, if you think, and you cry, if you laugh, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, and you're going to have something special. And what you're going to have by thinking or connecting emotionally, crying even in a new way, and laughing, you will have a day that has an extra minute of light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the light wins every time. Amen.